Professor Jane Spaid is a health psychologist and also Foundation Director of the Australian Centre for Behavioural Research in Diabetes.
Now, you've co-authored something for our 2nd of November issue.
Yes, on the author on it.
Exactly, on self-monitoring of blood glucose by non-insulin dependent patients.
That's right.
Type 2 diabetes patients.
Yeah.
Why is this such a hot topic?
Well, we know that around a million Australians have type 2 diabetes, 180 new cases every day.
Yep.
Of those Australians who have type 2 diabetes, three quarters of them are not using insulin.
Right.
Now, blood glucose strip use is growing by about 6% per annum, and in 2012, the government spending on blood glucose strips alone was in the region of about $140 million. Now, most of that spending actually goes on strips for the use of people with type 1 diabetes and people with type 2 who are using insulin, but about 35% of those strips are dispensed for people with type 2 diabetes not using insulin. So you can see with the much larger numbers of people who are with type 2 who are not using insulin compared to the other groups, 35% is still, you know, a large amount of money that could be saved if strips could be rationalised in some way. So the systematic review, in fact, a couple of systematic reviews have been published in recent years that suggest that self-monitoring of blood glucose in this group is not particularly beneficial. And so governments and health systems across the world are all asking whether spending on this is justifiable.
I mean, what does the evidence say about that?
Yeah, so the evidence largely comes from a couple of systematic reviews published a couple of years ago. The Cochrane review is probably, it would be considered the most rigorous of those. And they looked at 12 randomized controlled trials, over 3,000 participants in those studies. And in 9 of those trials, at the 6-month point, they found that HbA1c, the average blood glucose that tells us something about people's long-term risk of complications, was only reduced by 0.3%. So it was statistically significant, but not what we would refer to as clinically significant. In the longer-term trials, at 12 months, there were only 2 trials that had a 12-month time point. There was no significant difference in that HbA1c. So the review was concluding that the clinical benefit of self-monitoring of blood glucose in that group is just not there, or certainly very limited. And also they found that there was no overall effect on patient satisfaction, on emotional well-being, or on health-related quality of life.
Okay.
And so with the costs of using blood glucose test strips and that very limited clinical benefit, that's why governments and health systems are questioning whether it's a useful thing to spend money on.
So the Australian government has changed the PBS stipulation for strips, hasn't it?
It has, yes. So it conducted a review. Actually, this was one of 3 reviews that it's conducted in diabetes over the last 3 years.
Mm.
And they were interested in understanding the use and patterns of use of self-monitoring of blood glucose for people with type 2 diabetes. And they didn't explicitly say that they were going to rationalise or restrict use of blood glucose strips. But their review has looked at the literature, it's involved widespread consultations and stakeholder reviews, and then they sat on that review actually for about 2 years thinking about what, I guess they were thinking, I'm hoping they were thinking about what they would be doing and what their recommendation would be. And so what they've now said is that for people with type 1 diabetes, access, you know, is what it was, and that's fine, it's unlimited. Access for people with type 2 diabetes using insulin or sulfonylureas, which can cause hypoglycemia, that's not restricted either. But they've said, and I quote from them, access will be restricted for those with type 2 diabetes who are not using insulin and who have their blood glucose level under control. And the PBAC recommended that these patients be limited to a 6-month supply, which is 100 test strips, following changes to their diabetes management with a further 6-month supply available at the prescriber's discretion. So that's where they've landed.
And we've heard a lot about choosing wisely lately. What are their recommendations on this?
Yeah, so Choosing Wisely is an initiative, it's a global initiative actually, a movement, and it's encouraging clinicians and consumers to question the use of unnecessary medical tests and treatments and procedures. And in Australia, guidance was released in May of this year that stated, and I did this in collaboration with the RACG, GP, and their guidance was don't advocate routine self-monitoring of blood glucose for people with type 2 diabetes who are using oral medications only. So they too had looked at this evidence from the Cochrane Review and come down to the conclusion that it's of limited clinical benefit, so we're spending a lot of money on this, so don't do it.
And you disagree with that?
I do, yes.
Why?
So, yeah, it's a good question. So, you know, it's the Cochrane Review is, you know, obviously a very rigorous review. Cochrane Reviews always are. But to my thinking, and my co-author's thinking, it's flawed because it actually combines various approaches to self-monitoring of blood glucose and concludes that overall there's no effect. But the way that they've looked at those data, they're combining, you know, apples and pears. They're combining very unstructured approaches with very structured approaches. People who are using, you know, blood glucose monitoring 4 times a month compared to 6 times a day, 7 times a week. And so amongst those studies, there's a huge amount of variation in what's actually being done and what has been reported in terms of what the intervention actually was. And some of those studies incorporated feedback and education for people with diabetes and others didn't. So, and I think typically across those studies, there was insufficient blood glucose monitoring going on for plotting those results and looking at patterns and interpreting those patterns.
And therefore pretty useless to anybody looking at them.
That's right, yes. Yeah. So we published a commentary on this a couple of years ago now called Challenging Evidence and Assumptions. And basically, in our reading of that literature, we believe that the unstructured or low-frequency blood glucose monitoring precludes the identification of patterns, and it's not effective, and we wouldn't support that. But if people are doing structured monitoring, then it can actually reduce HbA1c, the overall blood glucose control. It can reduce diabetes-related distress, and it can improve confidence in diabetes self-care. There are lots of benefits that people can get from using self-monitoring in a structured way. The random low-frequency unstructured monitoring is not particularly helpful. People don't really know what they can do with that. They don't understand the targets necessarily. They find they don't really understand the readings. They find it a bit distressing or frustrating because they get high blood glucose readings and they don't really know what to do about it. And they don't necessarily take any action about it either. The structured approach to monitoring, as you say, there are various approaches. One approach is looking at a sort of a 7-point profile over 3 days.
Yes.
So you get 21 points, and you can plot that in terms of before and after meals and before bed over 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see where the high and the low readings are. And importantly, you can see where everything is in target. So you can think about what have you done over the past 3 days that influenced those readings. You can put down, you know, what levels of physical activity you've had. You can think about what you might have had for breakfast that might have then caused a higher reading later on. And you can experiment around it as well. You can think, well, on, you know, the next 2 days I'm going to have this breakfast and see what it does to my blood glucose readings. And on the third day I'm going to have a different breakfast and see what that does. So
yeah.
There are lots of things that people can do with a structured approach to monitoring if they're, you know, given some education and some support around that.
So if the PDS stipulations have changed, if Choosing Wisely are recommending not to do it, what message does that send to doctors and diabetic patients?
I mean, overall, the recommendation, you know, is saying we're restricting blood glucose test strips for people with type 2 diabetes who are not yet using insulin. And this overall suggests that it's of little benefit. The restriction will actually mean that people have got, on average, you know, one strip that they can use every other day. You know, how useful can that be management isn't worth it. It's of no value to you.
Is there a danger that people will think type 2 diabetes is not a serious disease compared to, say, type 1?
Absolutely. That's my main concern with this, actually, is that people will get the impression that type 2 diabetes, and particularly if they're not yet using insulin, is mild, but it's not the serious kind that needs monitoring and intervention. And yet we know that all diabetes is serious. All diabetes leads to complications if it's not monitored and managed appropriately. And to my mind, conveying any other message is just confusing, inaccurate, and it's potentially dangerous.
So what's the way forward?
I think we can work with this restriction that the government's placed on the strips. 100 strips over a 6-month period is more than enough for doing a structured approach to monitoring. That 3-day approach that I've talked about is the kind of thing that can happen in the week before a person sees their GP. So their GP would suggest to them, well, in the week before you come to see me, take this 3-day tool, monitor your glucose levels over those 3 days, and then when you come in to see me, we'll reflect on the patterns, we'll look at what we can think about to improve your diabetes management. And that can be done, on a quarterly basis before seeing the GP. So actually, that would only use 84 test strips a year. So 100 strips over 6 months is more than enough to do this kind of structured approach.
Okay.
So I think we can work with this government restriction. I really recommend that people look beyond the headlines, that they don't just see this as, the government not thinking that blood glucose monitoring is important or effective, but rather that the government is trying to move us towards using blood glucose strips in the most effective and cost-effective ways possible. And then I think that evidence-based practice will benefit both people with diabetes and the health system.
Thank you for your time.